All right, let's go to the Zoom line where we've got Kenley Nebaker on the line with us, Train ND Northwest, as well as the Train ND Foundation, following up on the Drone Light Show, a Little League World Series happening right now as I speak on the television screen right before my eyes. North Dakota actually did pretty good in the Little League World Series. I think they made it all the way to Iowa, got knocked out by Davenport at the end of the day. But the drone show made international news, Kenley, huh? Look at that.
Yeah, who would have thought? So it definitely was popular, and I think the biggest thing is the people who attended enjoyed. I woke up sweating the night before it, concerned that nobody was going to show up to it, and I was very glad to see we had a lot of people out there to watch it live, and even more have watched it, the video of it. And so I'm glad we got the video of it as well.
We were just talking about it the last week on Wattage Wednesday, Super Talk 1270, Talk of the Town. And the thing I mentioned was, you know, really when you look at the evolution of this drone light show, you know, possibly replacing fireworks down the line, I don't know about 100%, but you're going to start to see fireworks going away and drone shows becoming the new norm. Is, you know, not only is there's the smoke aspect and the explosion aspect, and whether you want to talk about the Chinese and the gunpowder aspect, but I think a big part of it is the Christmas light shows that we've seen on YouTube over the last few years to that orchestra out in the East Coast. What do you think about that?
Yeah, no, I think I do think that it's a great option heading into the future. You look at fire prevention, you look at the noise factor, right? Like being up every night the week of 4th of July till 3 in the morning because you can't get to sleep, is it eventually wears on you a little bit, right? And how animals react, so on and so forth. So there's a lot of benefits. Although I did have one person tell me that their dog could see the lights up in the sky and didn't like the lights up in the sky. But overall, much less intrusive than fireworks. You're able to put that music to it and choreograph it. And then the great advantage of being able to tell a real story, right? You can do a little bit of storytelling with fireworks, but really with a drone light show, you can truly tell a story, which is, it's a pretty big advantage.
Never thought of it from the storytelling angle, because the fireworks is just booms and ahs and, you know, ah, and you try to get, you know, the bigger the ah to the finale. But you are right, because the music, when you add that, that adds a whole new level, and you take people on a ride. And so that is interesting. One thing I did want to mention is kind of the evolution of the drone industry into North Dakota. We've been covering it here at the Crude Life since day one, me personally since 2006. And so North Dakota, one of the test states for FAA regulations. In fact, as we speak right now, they're doing an autonomous car at Microsoft campus over on the east side of the state. Talk to me a little bit about how this came to be, whether it be through the, did you have a commercial pilot there? Talk to me a little bit about some of the, you know, steps you had to go through in order to pull this off.
Yeah, so there's the drone light show industry has been really interesting. Intel kind of broke into the United States and dominated that market for a while. And it's interesting. They don't even do drone light shows anymore. They ultimately decided that business was not for them. But there's really three major up and going drone light shows in the United States, or light show companies in the United States. We went through the state procurement with it, the RFP process and all of that, or invitation for bid. And we were able to select a company that provided the technical help, the certified pilots, the everything that was needed. And they even built their own drones and brought it in. And it was a great, great show. They just did such a great job. I couldn't have been happier with Firefly Drone Shows is the name of that company. And they just absolutely killed it.
After the big success of the Little League World Series, had the drone show to kind of conclude the show, international news. Are you guys planning another one anytime soon in the Williston community?
You know, we are, we're currently already opening up to try and find funding from businesses to make a drone show happen in conjunction with our next air show, which would be, if I remember right, August 18th next year. So excited about that effort. What we're kind of thinking about doing, as I mentioned, telling a story, looking at telling the story of the history of aeronautics, the history of air travel. So, kind of excited about that possible project, and starting to raise funds for that to make that a possibility. Also, we're toying around with the idea, and hopefully nobody steals this idea from me, but, toying around with the idea, and I'd heard this from somebody, it might've been Steve, over at Town Square Media. He got me thinking about this, but kind of, cupcake wars for drone light shows, right? So bring in the three drone light show companies and have them compete to see who can build the best drone light show for whatever big event you're working towards. So I kind of like that idea. Hopefully people have watched Cupcake Wars and know what I'm talking about. But
I thought you'd bring in the three drone companies and see who makes the best cupcake. I think people would watch that instead. No, I'm just kidding. Hey, there you go. The drones will make the cupcakes. Now we're talking. Okay, now we're getting somewhere.
You automate. I like that, yeah.
Well, let's talk about a conversion that's happening here. The Trade ND, in my notes, it says Trade ND EV conversion diesel truck engines. Okay, combustion engines in parentheses. So, let's get the elaboration from this. So what's happening with Trane ND and this EV conversion with combustion engines?
Yeah, so as part of our $2.8 million grant that we were able to secure from the EDA this past year, part of that project was to do a electric vehicle conversion on a semi-truck, a CDL, a Class A level CDL or semi-truck. And so it's been a little bit slow starting up. We had to go through the procurement process, all of that stuff, but we have selected a company to do that for us. And that project will be starting up here. Once we finish up a few procurement things, that process will be going. So ultimately what it is it's a semi-truck, a classic semi-truck that is being retrofitted to be driven by electric motors, be powered by battery power, and have a small combustion engine powering those batteries, ultimately making it to where we can drive as far as we want to, as long as we keep diesel in the tank or gas in the tank. We haven't decided between a gas motor or a diesel motor, but really excited about this because it really shows the marriage between industries, right? There seems to be a lot of rhetoric that it's all one or the other, right? All oil and gas or all electric vehicle. And in my mind, and I've been preaching this for quite some time, it needs to be a marriage. The future is a marriage between those industries. And I'm really excited for this project because it can show how that works.
And that's really one of the, I guess, what birthed the industrial forest was taking a look at how industry and environment can work together. And the crude life, we've, you know, all the above energy. And because all of us are energy and all energy has a purpose. And so when we look at, you know, like even coal to the point to where it'll, you know, desalinate our water one day and solve our fresh water problems. And so a lot of these different energies are going to, you know, find a different purpose and a different delivery mechanism. And so when I think of, you know, like the crude life, I don't see oil and gas going anywhere in my lifetime, to be honest. I see it becoming a little bit more of a role player in the bigger picture to allow us to do a lot more. And this is one of those examples because you're from the Idaho area, right? From your younger days in high school and stuff like that?
Yes, sir. Grew up on a potato farm in Idaho.
Yeah. So you're somewhat familiar with... Okay, I've got about 5 minutes left here. So somewhat I remember in California in the 90s when I was out there for a couple years, there was mandates, you know, we had to have our engines at a certain emission, and you had to have a electric vehicle percentage by a certain amount of time. And that kind of failed. But the one thing that did work was the hybrid vehicles. And I've always wondered why we've never really given the hybrid vehicles a chance here. And what you're talking about at this almost sounds like a hybrid that you're trying to create.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. It's a hybrid just in a semi-truck form, right? And we're very confident that this is going to work. You know, and it's not just a hybrid. It's a hybrid that can work in all conditions up here in North Dakota, right? So when we talk about batteries, one of the big limiting factors of batteries is temperature, right? So when we're negative 40 here in Williston, ambient, that can be very hard on batteries, right? When we're 100 degrees, that can be hard on batteries. And so part of this project is figuring out how to manage the temperatures of those batteries, no matter what the ambient temperature is. And so we're really excited about that challenge and that piece. And that's one of the big naysayers, right? Is a lot of people up here in North Dakota in particular will say, well, you can't use a battery driven vehicle up here because of the temperatures. I believe that we have the technology to get it done. And that's what we're going to prove with this particular project.
What I think is going to be interesting from the crude life standpoint is the evolution of jobs, is the evolution of new training, and just really what is going to be happening at the end of the day. Because when we start talking about, you know, replacing some of the diesel combustion engines with electric engines, and if it's going to be more towards the all or nothing society, which I don't think it's going to be, but at the same time, now you're talking about diesel mechanics getting impacted. And, you know, as I mentioned earlier, we just had an autonomous vehicle demonstration in Fargo at the Microsoft campus earlier. Well, you guys are talking about CDL drivers needed yesterday. And so what I like about what we're trying to do and what you're trying to do is really have a conversation about, folks, the world is changing. But if you take a look at how things can work together, it's not going to be this immediate knee-jerk reaction like everybody says it's going to be. There's going to be a little bit of an adaption process. And I don't think you guys know what the end result's going to be with this this hybrid vehicle yet, do you?
No. We've got some hopes of what it can mean and what it can do, but we don't know the end results yet. No, I mean, this is really about trying to show what can be done. And, you know, we're confident that it will be successful. And when it is successful, just like you said, it opens up a whole new world of training, right? Imagine a hybrid diesel mechanic / electric vehicle mechanic, and what that looks like in the world, and what a person with both those skill sets can do. I mean, that's an exciting thing. People need to accept that we're not taking jobs away. We're creating jobs where you maybe have to adjust a little bit and get to learn a new skill, but that's just added to the great skills you already have, right?
You might have an electric diesel director.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, I mean, all kinds of new job titles are going to come, and yeah, it's going to be where the robots do part of the job, you do part of the job, and then somebody's going to be, you know, writing the back end programming part. So what I see at the end of the day is the good news, I think, is there's going to be less heavy lifting and less contorting of the human body. And I think that's really what people should keep their eye on.
Yeah. I think the future leaves the heavy, hard labor a little bit behind. I agree. And that's something I look forward to. I think that the gains that can be made with electrically powered motors is pretty impressive, to be honest with you. And so what we can do there, and then adding in automation, adding in robotics, mechatronics, I mean, there's just lots of gains that can be done.
Well, how can people find out more about this? Are you guys taking students for this, or how's this working?
Well, we'll be taking students for CDL. This particular truck, when it's done, will actually be used to pull a CDL simulator. around to the different high schools and to different places throughout the state, different conferences, to kind of show off its capabilities as well as get people interested in getting their CDL.
Hang on, we got to pause for just a second. So the CDL driver is going to drive around a CDL simulator?
Yes, in the back of the truck. That's great. Yeah, no.
I love it.
Yes. In the trailer of the truck, there will be a CDL simulator, and we will pull that around to different schools for them to, it's crazy how kids jump on that. I mean, they just jump on it. It's pretty cool.
I mean, that is like a forklift driving a pallet of forks. I love it. Yep. Absolutely love it. it's not too often you get the literal irony right before your eyes. So that's great. Yeah.
Some great irony there. I agree.
Well, when does that start up then, this fall, or does that start up next year, you think?
We're currently shooting for a 9-month timeline on this CDL truck to be finished.
Well, that's right. You got to do it first. Duh. Okay.
Yeah, but I mean, the truck, that in theory we can get that done in 9 months. The problem is the insecurities of the supply chain issues currently in the United States, right?
So yeah.
We will see where supply chain issues take us, but we're hoping for a 9 to 12 month. Have that truck done in 9 to 12 months, and then have it on the road and take it out for people to see, and then we'll see what comes from training, right, and those opportunities that can be had there.
Well, I know we're looking forward to following that story here on the Crude Life. So, folks, stay tuned to the Crude Life as well as other media outlets like Super Talk 1270's Talk of the Town, as well as the Industrial Forest and the Crude Life, and every affiliate that the daily update of Living the Crude Life is on. We're going to track this from all the different angles, from the diesel mechanics to the gas savings to the actual new jobs that spring out of it, all kinds of different aspects of it. So anything in closing here? I'm kind of looking at the Zoom clock here and they're counting me down.
No, I appreciate the opportunity to chat about this project. We're really excited about it and really think that we can show the what I believe is the future of the transportation industry, which once again is a marriage of EV and oil and gas.